Verse 10, you are complete in Him. This message is called keeping yourself in Him.
It's time for another Holy Ghost-inspired message from God's Word, recorded live at Living Water Church in Bridgeport, West Virginia. Now, here's Pastor Jerry.
But I want to pray as we get started in this morning. Lord, thank you so much for this wonderful time of year, season that we, so many of us enjoy as springtime is coming around. And Lord, next week, we get to celebrate Resurrection Sunday, and that's always exciting. But Lord, every time we get together should be exciting. And we thank you for that. And we thank you for this time that you've given to us. And I pray that you'd open our hearts and open our ears that we might be able to hear what you have to say to us today. And I'll thank you and give you praise. In Jesus' name, God's people say amen. And amen this morning. All right. As we begin this morning, I want to read a passage of Scripture that most of us are aware of, and we know that today is what is considered Palm Sunday. And if you don't know what that is about, all of the Gospels actually talk about this. But I want to pick out in particular chapter 19 of Luke. So as we begin this morning, chapter 19 of Luke, we're going to start in verse 29. And it came to pass, when he, Jesus, was come to Bethphage and Bethany at the mount called Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, saying, go into the village over against you, in which at your entering you shall find a colt tied, whereon yet never a man sat, loose him and bring him here. And if any man ask you, why do you loose him? This is what you will say to him, because the Lord has need of him. And they that were sent went their way and found even as he had said unto them. And as they were loosing the colt, the owner said to them, why are you loosing this colt? And they said, the Lord has need of him. And they brought him to Jesus, and they cast their garments upon the colt, and they set Jesus thereon. And as he went, they spread their clothes in the way, and when he was come near, even to the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen, saying, blessed be the King that comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. I love that. And in other versions we hear it, Hosanna to the King of Kings. Hosanna to the Lord of Lords. And what we call Palm Sunday is actually this coming in of Jesus into Jerusalem. And kind of an interesting thought here. He comes from Bethany, and most likely was at the house of Mary and Martha, Lazarus, of course, who had been raised from the dead. They were very close friends. But Bethany, interesting, in the translation of that means house of the poor or village of the poor. You see, Jesus was not that individual that only catered to the rich. And unfortunately, a lot of churches only cater to those that are paying customers, so to speak. But Jesus came from the house of Bethany and comes down. Wouldn't it be interesting now if someone comes to you, and last time I preached on this, I think a couple years ago, Jesus said, go to that colt, loose that colt, and if somebody asks you, just tell them the Lord has need of it. So I forget who it was. Someone said that they were going to come to my house and get my boat out of the garage and say, the Lord has need of it. That's just a little side note. But if the Lord had need of it, he surely can have it. I can tell you that. Amen? But Jesus enters in. It's interesting. Matthew's gospel relates this as he told them to go and to get a donkey and also a colt, and to lay their coats upon them. So in Matthew's gospel, he says that there were two there. So we don't know exactly, but I can imagine that there were two. But Jesus comes in, and they're throwing their coats down. They're throwing palm branches down, and they're saying, Hosanna, and there's a great rejoicing going on. You know what Hosanna means in the Hebrew? Hosanna was saying, God is saving us. So in other words, remember as the video that was shown earlier, it said, behold, our King, Hosanna, is saving us. So what they actually thought was that this King Jesus was coming into Jerusalem and he was going to destroy all those Romans that had them under bondage. And that he was going to stand up and speak, and all the Romans would fall down on their swords, and the Jewish people would take back over and would rule and reign. So they were all rejoicing in this and having a wonderful time of partying as Jesus was coming in to Jerusalem. So most people don't understand it. We just understand, oh, this is Hosanna, Hosanna, the King is coming. Well, that's what they thought he was going to take over. Now, the second portion of Scripture that I would like us to go to is over in Colossians chapter 2. And so, if we were looking perhaps for a total message on the Palm Sunday, that was part of it. But in Colossians chapter 2, verse 6, I'm going to read these verses through 6 through 10. As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk you in Him, rooted and builded up in Him, and established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in Him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in Him, which is the head of all principality and power. Now, when you look at these two portions of Scripture, you wonder, where is He going? They almost seem to be two different related type of subjects. But here's where I'm going with this. Those people that were throwing those palm branches and throwing their clothes down and yelling Hosanna to the King of Kings, where were they when Jesus was crucified? They took off. They abandoned. You see, this was a shallowness of worship. Whereas over in this portion of Colossians, I want you to look at several of those verses there, and I want to emphasize some things that I just read. As you therefore receive Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk you in Him. Rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith. Verse 10, you are complete in Him. This message is called keeping yourself in Him. You see, those people that were there at that time worshiping and throwing things down and having a great time saying, Hosanna, our King, were not in Him. And my question is today, are you in Him? Or are you just the casual worshiper that is like those that were throwing down the palm branches and says, yes, yes, oh, thank you, Jesus. Lord, thank you, I worship you. But is your life truly in Him? Is your life all about Him and in Him? So oftentimes we hear young people today, they're saying, man, I'm so into that. That's my thing. I am into it. Maybe they don't say that today, but they said it when I was a kid. Do they say that today? No wonder you're looking at me that way. He's like, man, what age are you from? What do we say now? It's the rad thing? No, what do we say? We don't say it's cool. Yeah, we used to say it's cool, it's rad. That was in the 80s. I don't know what they say today. Catch me up here. He says, I don't know. All I know is this. There's been many a people over the course of time that have come across as lifting their hands in praise and worship. Listen, do you know how many stars, as far as it goes, singing people that have made albums, Christian albums, had made albums with hymns on them and so forth, that they do not know Jesus anymore than someone that is so far away from God that you would not believe it? They're just making that for whatever reason. But my question is, are we in Christ? Keeping yourselves in Christ. And I believe that as God has been bringing us messages over since the beginning of the year, they have been, I don't know about you, but I have been extremely convicted by those things that God has been bringing us, because He has been calling us to come closer to Him. How many of you noticed that the world is getting worse around you? But Jesus said, I don't want you to be afraid of that, because anybody that is in Christ does not need to be afraid of what is happening around you. Because there are promises to that, but I can guarantee you, if you are not in Christ, and meaning in Christ, have you truly made Him your Savior? Have you said, God, here's my life, it is for you? Because if you're only tinkering around the edges, you're the one that's waving the branches and saying, Hosanna, Hosanna, but when it comes down to it, you're not in Him. We're going to talk a little bit more about that here this morning. You know, it's wonderful that over the years that we have seen evangelists that have had great big crusades, and it's wonderful that there are large events that take place and altar calls are given and people come to the altars. That's wonderful. I do praise God for that, and I thank God for the ministries of those that have done that. So I'm not discounting that, but what I am saying is, of the people, statistics have been done with this, of the people that come forward in those crusades, there are, a year later, only 6%, a year later, that have had any changes in their lives, and or are still claiming the name of Jesus. 6% of those that have come. Now, we are thankful for an example with Billy Graham and the ministry that God had him doing. He had thousands and thousands and thousands that would come to the altar. So praise God for the 6% that would account for 12 million some people in his lifetime that made a commitment for Christ. But my question is, what about the other 94%? 94%. Has the church remembered its call? With 94% still being out there that had once heard the gospel, where are they now? You know, what was the church's call? Matthew chapter 28, Jesus, when He was leaving this earth, He told us what the call was for us as His people. And I want you to look at this yourself, and I need you to see this. Matthew chapter 28, verse 19, He's telling us, His disciples, He was telling those disciples then, which passes on to us, go you therefore and teach all nations. Teach them, baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, Teach them to observe all the things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you even to the end of the world. The church, I believe, has not fulfilled our call. Especially when we have individuals that are interested in coming to Christ and or come to Christ, we ought to gather around them and to teach them the things of God. Somebody say amen. Amen. But yet, what are we doing? And what has happened that 94% are no longer even close to that commitment that they made? Do we care? Or do we have the attitude, oh, well, you know what? They knew, and now they're just going to go to hell. Oh, well. That's not the attitude that Jesus calls us to have. Go, you, therefore. Oh, that pastor, that means you, and that means Kathy, because, you know, she's the head of the ministry training center. That's her job to teach. Right?
No.
I like, what? Right? Can you say it a little louder?
No.
Go ye, therefore, and teach all nations. Oh, well, you know, I'm not a preacher. I'm not a teacher. How many of you got a mouth? How many got a big mouth? Case closed on that. Here's the thing. We are called really to stay in Him and to keep in Him. And that's really what this message is today, keeping yourself in Him. Because it is so easy for us to do what? We're so easily distracted. How many of you get distracted real easy? Some of you could be sitting in this service listening and you get distracted by something. So we're so easily distracted, and God is saying, I need you to keep yourself in me. Because when we keep ourselves in Him, we are safe and we are secure in Him. Now, many today want the promises and blessings of God. How many of you want the promises? How many of you want the blessings? Or you want God to bless you, right? So if I gave you the choice and said, okay, how many of you want God's blessing? How many raise your hand? You don't want God's blessing? Okay. You? Okay, there it is. Okay. All right. How many of you want the devil to have his way and cursings? What? Anybody in the back? Nobody wants that. But here's the thing. Many want the promises of God, but God's conditions say that we must be in Him to receive those. See, this is not a freebie. When you're just saying, walk up to the vending machine and say, okay, God, give me a blessing. Here's this. Give me a blessing. Some of you like to kick the machine and shake it. Give me a blessing. God's not a vending machine here, folks. He is not. Many of us have memorized this scripture. We know it by heart. And how many of you know where I'm going? John 3:16. We're actually going to read verse 15 and 16. John 3:15, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth what? In Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So salvation here is a free gift that God offers, but He says that we must believe in Him. He says that we must believe in Him. Somebody say, in Him.
In Him.
By the time you leave today, you should know the message title, right? Keeping yourself in Him. So if you want salvation, you must believe in Him and be in Christ. How about this one? In the book of Romans, chapter 8, great chapter there, but the very first verse says, therefore, there is now no condemnation to those who are close to Jesus. What? Yeah, there's no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. I want you to get the conditions here that he's saying. Because the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. So there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Guess what? If you're not in Christ Jesus, what do you get? It's not difficult to figure out here. Is it, Rick? So, we like to throw around these scriptures, and I even know people that are not saved, that are not born again, they've never given their heart to Jesus, but yet they claim these scriptures. Oh, don't judge me. There's no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. And that's absolutely correct. But are you in Christ Jesus? Because being in Him takes away the condemnation. He takes the condemnation away from us. A truly changed life. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Do we know it? Therefore, if any man be in Christ, do you know how many references there are about being in Christ, Sister Joyce? In the New Testament alone, there are over 38 direct times where it talks about being in Christ. The Lord downloaded this sermon to me a few nights ago this week. As I woke up and couldn't sleep early in the morning, and lots of times Laura might turn over and say, what are you doing? You all right? I'm praying. And I'm seeking God. And this was downloaded. And the Lord, within that hour or so, just was running all of these scriptures through my mind. It was just like, boom, 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 in Christ, in Him. And these were just moving so quickly. God is saying He wants us in Him, folks. And to keep ourselves in Him. With the world that is swirling out of control around us, we need to be in Him to be safe. If any man is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things are passed away. Behold, all things are made brand new. Sometimes individuals say, why are things not changing for me? You have to ask yourself the question, have you truly committed to being in Christ and doing it His way, not your way? Because you can be around it, you can hear it, you can come to church, you can hear these words all around you, you can hear every sermon in the world, but it can go around you unless you begin to make that decision that I'm doing it God's way. I'm all in. You ever heard that phrase, all in or nothing? Years ago, it was the big thing when people wanted to go out west. Their Volkswagen vans would have a peace sign on them and say, California or bust. I never heard anybody coming this way saying West Virginia or bust. Right? Maybe now. Somebody say amen to that, you know.
This is where the good stuff is at now. Larry, where was I? You got me off track there, okay? Yeah, thank you. All right. It's all or nothing. God's not looking for part of you. If you're in Christ, things change. But if you're wondering maybe why things aren't changing, are you fully in Christ? Because when you're fully in Him, He's going to work inside of you and say, see that? Get rid of that. Because that's not my heart. That's not my will. See this? Get rid of that. And some people don't want to get rid of this or that. They want to hold on to it because they like it. But listen, you're missing this whole thing to be a new creature. You're missing no condemnation if you're holding on to it. And some Christians, even though we are saved, we like to hold on to those things instead of letting them go and being completely in Him. Over 38 times, in Christ, in Him. Now, I could preach and give you all 38 scriptures if you want. How many want that? One, thank you. All right, you and I were going to go together here, all right? I'm not going to do that. It's so important that we have this concept in mind and what God is trying to say to us today. The writer of Hebrews actually teaches this concept. We've been through this over the last 12, 13 weeks on Wednesday night in teaching out of the book of Hebrews. But I want to show you just a couple of those scriptures. Would you go with me over to the book of Hebrews right now? Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23. See, the writer of Hebrews was also dealing with a people that were wishy-washy, and some of them were wanting to go back to their old Jewish ways. And he says, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for He is faithful that has promised. And let us consider one another, provoke one another to love and good works. And Rick, I don't think I gave this to you. Not forsaking the assembling together of ourselves, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. In other words, we are called to be in Him, that our profession of faith should be strong and without wavering. In other words, you can't come to church Sunday morning and raise your hand and say, thank you, Jesus, sing all the songs, and then go out as if life never happened on Sunday and keep living the old sinful life that you've been living. You can't do it. That's not the heart of God. And I still hear that voice of that man that came here, and he said, I listened to your sermon, and if you wouldn't preach so hard, maybe your church would be full. That just popped into my mind, Joyce. And this individual told me, people don't like that. They want something a little more mellow, you know, feel good about it. I can't do that. So if you're looking for that, that's not going to be here. Hebrews chapter 12. The next couple chapters over here, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 15, looking diligently lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness spring up and trouble you, and thereby you will be defiled. Looking diligently lest the grace of God fail you. Some people like to teach, well, you know, I can do anything that I want once I pray a prayer. I'm here to tell you that's not true. Some like to just make a huge, big doctrine about that. But when we look at just this one scripture, be careful that you don't fail the grace of God by doing your own thing and saying, I don't care.
God will forgive me because He loves me. I'm going to heaven. I can do whatever I want to. That's not true. He wants us in Him. In Him, folks. Now, the ultimate call of us as believers, and I want you to really look at this because this comes from a single book, a single chapter. There are a couple books that are in the New Testament that I think are probably the hardest hitting books. One of them is the book of James. And one year we're going to do a series on the book of James, okay? Did you notice I said 1 year? Yeah. Some of you didn't catch that, okay? But the other one is the book of Jude. And that's where I want to go right now. I want you to go to this book of Jude. It's that tiny little book there right after 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, right before Revelation. How many of you know that's the last one? Okay. Here's the ultimate call of the believer. Jude chapter 1. It doesn't even have a 1 beside it. It's just Jude. And I want you to look down there as we go to verse 17. But beloved, remember you the words which were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how that they told you that there should be mockers in the last time who would walk after their own ungodly lust. Do you see any of that happening today? You know, I just never forget the last time I talked to Pat Buxton before she left. She just said, I just cannot believe that in my lifetime that I am seeing the corruption in government that I have never seen my entire life. How many of you feel that way? Yeah. Yeah. Young people, you don't know. You haven't lived enough years to see it. And unfortunately for you, you're living that in that lifetime right now. But there is a way to stay above all this stuff that's going on, and it's being in Christ. Okay? These folks walk after their own ungodly lust. These be they who separate themselves, sensual, having not the Holy Spirit. But you, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Here's my verse. Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Again, I want to reemphasize, Jude says, keep yourself in the love of God. Whose responsibility is that? It's ours. Sometimes people say, oh, well, God, you know, you just keep me. You just keep me. God's saying, keep yourselves in the love of God. In other words, you are in this world. You have this world swirling about you, but God has given you everything that you need for life and godliness. And He's saying, I expect you to use it. Can't just say, oh God, keep me, keep me, keep me away from all this stuff. Keep me, keep me, keep me. He has given you what you need to keep away from all that stuff. Amen. The people of God will know their God and know their Word and know the heart of God, and by it they can recognize what is not godly around them. How many of you have noticed that? When you draw yourself near to God and you begin to learn what His heart is and His Word, all of a sudden when something comes along, you can immediately recognize that that's not God. You know, I know and I realize, young people, that things are so much worse today than they were when I was a teenager. But one thing that I do praise God for is that my parents brought us to church. But bringing us to church did not make us a Christian. What made us a Christian, or what made me a Christian, was accepting Christ as my Savior and learning who He was and what His heart was for me. And even though I didn't understand everything that I understand today, one thing I knew, what was godly and what was not. And I can remember, and I thank God for this, you know, going into the restroom at school, and here were individuals that were smoking marijuana, smoking cigarettes, and they're like, here, have some of this. You know, and immediately what I knew because of my giving my heart to Jesus is that that was not godly. And I was able to say, no, I don't want that, and back away from that and leave that. I thank God for that conviction even at a young age. Because I know it's in the schools today. I'm not stupid to this, but it was in the schools when we were going to school. And keeping yourselves in the things of God will help you to stay out of Satan's claws. I'm telling you. That's the way that it works. And ultimately, he says here, keep yourselves in the love of God. So the question comes in, well, how do I do that? How do I, no, wait a minute. Some people are saying, wait a minute, keep yourself in the love of God. What's he talking about? Because over in the 8th chapter again of Romans, he says, nothing can separate you from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. That's talking about God's love towards you. Nothing can separate God from loving you. He's going to love you. But this is talking about keep yourselves in His love. Keep yourself loving Him. You understand the difference? Keep yourself loving Him. How do I keep myself loving Him? How do I practically do this? John chapter 15, jump back over to the book of John. We're getting a Bible workout today. John chapter 15, verse 10. And I love this. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love. It's talking about the same thing here. How do I keep myself in the love of God? I do what God's asking me to do. It's not that difficult of a concept, is it? I do what God's asking me to do. If you keep my commandments, you abide in my love, even as I have kept the Father's commandments and abide in His love. These things I have spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends, you are in me, if you do whatsoever I command you to do. You see the conditions that the Lord is laying out here? But later he says, you know what, keeping my commandments is not a hard thing to do. Love me. And love others. Lay down things that I say are not good for you. Put yourself totally, fully in me. What are some practical ways for us to stay in the love of God? I want to go back to Colossians chapter 3. And some of you may have a hard time finding some of those small letters back there. And in our ministry training center, I always gave an acronym that I learned years ago. Go eat peaches and cream. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. So if you've never heard that before, you might think of that if you like peaches and cream. If you don't like peaches and cream, just ignore it. Okay? Colossians chapter 3. For you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ, where? in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then you will appear with him in glory. Now the question was, how do we practically do his commandments? You ready? Mortify, well, that's a good old King James word for saying, kill these things that are within you. What things? Fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection. And how many of you know what that means? Inordinate affection. What are we dealing with so much here in our society today? LGBTQ and whatever else. Now, some people say, I can't believe you're going to say that in a sermon. Somebody might catch that. Well, this is the Word of God. Inordinate affection. In other words, it means out of the ordinary of what God has created. Today, we see so much. Laura and I saw some documentary or something on all the psychological issues that are going on today with young people. You know why? Because of inordinate affection, unnatural type things that are happening in today's world. He says these things ought to be put away. Evil concupiscence, covetousness, which is idolatry. For these things, the wrath of God comes on the children of disobedience. In thee which you also walked sometime when you lived in them. But now, you also have put off all these. Here's what I want you to put off, church. I want you to put off your anger and your wrath and your malice, your blasphemy, your filthy communication out of your mouth. How many of us regularly let filthy communication come into our ears and sometimes find it coming out of our mouths? What a man takes in, he'll spit out eventually. I say, man, Pastor, that's hard. What are you listening to? What are you putting in there? Oh, well, it's not going to hurt me. You would not believe how much it's hurting you by listening to those things. And many of us say, oh, well, I can watch that movie. I can listen to this or I can hear that. I mean, yeah, they're swearing, they're cussing, they're carrying on. But you know what? I don't do that. You know what eventually starts coming out of your mouth? What's gone in? God is saying, I want you to be in me. Let me ask you this. You think Christ has filthy communication coming out of his mouth? Or any of these anger? Some are so angry that they can't let go of an anger. They can't let go of a bitterness. Being in Christ means that I am going to submit that all to him and forgive. And I'm going to let him take control of my life. Verse 9 says, don't lie one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds, and you have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Don't lie one to another. How many of us have a habit of lying? One. Anybody else? Want to raise your hand? You know, God says that when we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. Very quickly here, God says we are not to lie one to another. And we've got a lot of Christians that say, I don't lie. Really? Phone call comes in and you accidentally take it because you didn't think that it was a spam call. Hello? Yes, is this Mr. or Mrs. So-and-so? And you're like, ah. And then you say, someone's at the door, I gotta go. Is anybody at the door? A lot of cases, no. Or I'm in a hurry, I've gotta go do this, I gotta go do that, I gotta do this or that. That is a lie, folks. Is it not? So I think that it's better to say, excuse me, I don't want to talk to you right now. Have a good day. Goodbye. Now you did not lie to them. Let your yes be yes and your no be no. Quit lying. Or sometimes when we don't want to offend someone, we lie to them. Stop lying. We don't need to do that as new men, new women in Christ. Keeping ourselves in the love of God. I want to close just with one scripture, and I want you to go back to where we originally started from in Luke's gospel. Luke chapter 19. And I'm circling back here because we have to make it a priority to keep ourselves in Him and not miss this. Now, right at the tail end of where I left off with that story of what we call Palm Sunday, they are saying, blessed is the name of the Lord, glory in the highest to Him. And then, verse 41, and when He was come near, He beheld the city, and He wept over it. Now, here Jesus has just rode in, and they're all giving shouts and praises and laying clothes down and just, you know, what does Jesus do? He weeps. Why is Jesus weeping here? Because He knows the conditions of their hearts. Saying, if you had known, even thou in this last day, the things which belong unto thy peace, but now they are hid from your eyes. For the days are coming upon you that your enemies will cast a trench about you, compass the city on every side, and keep it away from you, and shall lay you even to the ground, and your children within you, and they shall not leave in thee one stone upon another. He was referring to, because of their disobedience and their lack of turning to Him, that city, Jerusalem, would be destroyed. And guess what? It was. And Jesus was weeping over the condition because it didn't have to be. And I think Jesus weeps over the condition of many of us because it doesn't have to be. Now, I want you to look particularly at this last sentence. Because you knew not the time of your visitation. In other words, you didn't recognize that I was right here. I had given you everything that you needed, and yet you turned away from it. See, Sunday mornings, when you come here, God's giving you everything that you need. Worship time, fellowship time, His Word, for you to grow and to keep yourself in the love of God and keep yourself in Him. But yet when you walk away from here and say, well, it was just church, that's just Pastor Jerry spouting off, you know. Well, you laughing at Pastor Aaron, they might be saying that about you too.
Oh, I've heard it.
Yeah. Jesus, do you want Him to weep and say, you know what? I presented it to you. I gave you everything you needed. But then you walk away and don't do anything about it? His heart breaks. Keeping yourself in Him is the most important thing that you can ever do in this lifetime. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Father, thank You for this Word today. Lord, You're right here. You're right here in front of us. We sang a song earlier that said, waiting here for You. You've given us everything that we need. And I pray right now, Father, that these words will fall on good soil. And it would make a change in our lives. We'd be the people of God to stay in You during this time of the world, during this time of things going on in the United States, that we would be in You. And to hear Your words, don't fear, I am with you. Our Lord, thank You for that today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
We thank you for listening to today's message and pray that the Holy Spirit touched your heart. If you would like to support this ministry, please send your donation to Living Water Church, 1000 Hall Valley Drive, Bridgeport, West Virginia, 26330. Living Water Church is a 501c3 nonprofit organization. Your gifts are tax deductible.